Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is our midweek edition, Wednesday, August 21st, 2013. Yes, hooray, we finally got a good rain. We waited almost to the end of the monsoon season, but I don't know, every storm seemed to have missed our home. But yesterday started raining from 2 to 3, really hard, then a nice gentle drizzle for a couple of hours. Boy, the plants look so happy this morning. Let's see if it is sustainable and like to get another rain at least before we call it a monsoon season. Buckmaster Live each weekday. We're here 12:04 to 1. We are on AM 1030 KVOI. We call it Tucson's intelligent voice. We also know for a fact that it is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, a station with great reach. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can hear our programs anytime, anywhere. We podcast to buckmastershow.com. We also post the program to the TucsonCitizen.com website and TucsonSentinel.com as well. And we also have a very prominent link on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Sol Rita Sun at GVNews.com and the homepage of BlogForArizona.com. During the noon hour, we'll get things rolling with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham today joining us on the live line. Then we'll take a deep dive into the resurgence of downtown Tucson. We will have with me in studio, Craig Sumberg will be here, the executive director of Fox Tucson Theater, and Michael Keith, CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. We invite you at any time during the hour to join in the conversation, 790-2040, or we invite you to become a friend of the show on Facebook. You can find us very easy at Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now Paul Cunningham to the Buckmaster Show. Paul, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I want to start by talking a little baseball. That article, the Craig Hansen piece, really hit the nail on the head, I think, concerning now really the last stand for local minor league baseball. The Padres opening tonight, I think it's nine games, their last nine games. And it's going to be a while before Tucson has baseball here. And Paul, I think we may be, after the Padres move on to El Paso, we may be the largest city in the United States without some kind of a professional baseball team.
Right, we'll be the largest, both a municipality and metropolitan statistical area, without a presence of a major league baseball, whether it be AA, AAA, or major league. You know, the proof is in the pudding, and I've been a long time. I wanted to, first of all, defend both the Board of Supervisors in the 90s and the City Council in the 90s, because if you go back to the Tucson Citizen Archives and read the articles and kind of the way the neighbors were going and just the political climate and the optimism, a lot of people thought that the Keno ballpark would work out. They thought that downtown, putting a ballpark downtown in that proximity to both Sunset Field, which at the time was there, and High Corbett, which is, you know, just down Alvernon. I mean, you're only talking about 2 or 3 miles. People didn't think that would make sense. And so that's kind of one of the discussion points that we're talking about, is that people back then, 20 years ago, really thought when we made this decision that we were making a good decision. At the end of the day, it worked for spring training. Driving out there, what is perceived to be a really long distance when it isn't, is very tedious 71 nights a year. If you're going 5-10 nights in one season, that's something different. But season ticket holders going 71 nights a year to Keno Stadium just never resonated. And the proof is in the pudding. Our best year of baseball is 91 when we won the PCL championship. The metropolitan statistic area was about 250,000 lighter than it is now, yet we were able to attract 317,000 fans that season. Our 2006 season, when we also won the PCL championship, and we had about 1 million people in our metropolitan statistical area, we didn't even get north of 300,000. So that kind of shows you that the AAA thing just didn't work out there, and even more so, the location of a ballpark does continue to mean something, considering we moved Sunset Field off campus, or we moved the Arizona Wildcat baseball team off campus, and their average attendance went from about 800 to 3,000 in one season. And you know, the proof is in the pudding. It just wasn't the right place in retrospect for minor league baseball. I think it will work out for big special events and for soccer and for other things. But for a 71-1 season schedule, the location of that, while well-intentioned, and I think everybody thought and was optimistic it would work out, it obviously hasn't been able to pay the bills for any of the three or four owners that have gone through there.
Yeah, I think you make a very good point, and I've been around in this town a long time, 25 years covering news, and I remember those days in the 90s when we had the big discussion about Keno Ballpark. You have to remember, you have to look back at this at the time, because now people are saying, oh my goodness, shouldn't we have put a ballpark in downtown Tucson? Well, now, of course, we have this resurgence with downtown Tucson, and putting a ballpark now might have made sense. But back then, downtown Tucson was struggling beyond belief.
Well, it wasn't even actually, but when we were voting on it, downtown was actually okay. You had Cafe Magritte, you had Congress, Fourth Avenue had just gone into the first revitalization with O'Malley's and Isla T. Barone and the Fourth Avenue Merchants Association with Fred Tandler was running everything over there. It was actually doing okay. And then 5 years later, after we built the stadium, we really knew kind of right away we probably missed an opportunity here. But it was at that point too late. You know, the county was carrying a $16 million debt. We'd already signed the contracts with the league teams. But in 93-94, it seemed like a good idea at the time. And, you know, hindsight being 2020, anybody can armchair quarterback it and say we should have. But at the time, I think everyone was trying to make an informed decision, and they didn't. They missed it. But that happens. It wasn't that they were – there was – I don't buy it that it was some special agenda or secret. I don't believe that at all. I think it just was the political process went through, and that's kind of what we came up with. It seemed like the dollars and cents made sense because the county already owned the land. I mean, there were a lot of different nuanced reasons why the ballpark ended up out there. And again, for one-off events, it works. I mean, Centurions doesn't have any issues selling out when it's out there. We don't have any issues selling out the Desert Diamond Cup when David Beckham's playing, or KFMA Day when they have a big show concert out there. It works out fine. It's getting that constant. You know, you have 71 home games in a AAA baseball season, and getting out there that often just never seemed to work. And we'll see kind of how that resonates later, but at the end of the day, it just, you know, it just didn't work conveniently for what the casual baseball fan is going to attend 20 or 30 games. I can speak to my own personal experience, and that is my grandmother, Judge Fisher, was a longtime season ticket holder of the Toros when she lived in Colonia de Solana, and usually made at least 20 to 25 games a year, if not more. And when it moved to Keno, she did renew her seats, but she never went because she wanted to be able to walk over. And so it just goes that way. It's kind of, I know that's kind of anecdotal, but it I think it's a microcosm of kind of how that discussion went out. And again, the proof is in the pudding. If you go back to 96, there's no way that in 2006, with a much newer, a much better parking ballpark, that we can't, and we win a PCL championship. Yeah. We can't seem to draw anybody, and at the same time, in 91 we can. That's an issue. And the other issue, and I'll say this kind of because I always like to give Phoenix a little bit of the blame. You know, if I'm going to go out and spend $50 at the AAA game, why would I drive 120 miles, spend $75? And go to the big game.
There you go.
I think that was part of the market.
Before we leave baseball, one of the area's biggest baseball fans is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Sheldon has a quick question for you.
Thank
Sheldon,
you,
before the break.
Can't be quick, you know, because there are a lot of issues the councilman has touched upon. It really should be a few public forums. held in the Board of Supervisors or City Council, the hearing room, and the publicity for those should be proper and in the press. And there was very little of that when the conversion was made between the City of Tucson and the U of A to go to High Corbett. And you know, the attendance was much more, about 5,500 each march, over and above what the U of A baseball team is drawing. Paul, you mentioned 2,500. So these are Cactus League, the facts speak for themselves. And the hardcore baseball fans, pro baseball fans, you know, are very, very upset at the situation. Whether or not there's what the future is, in part, a baseball stadium or a stadium downtown, as George Miller wanted, maybe that will come about. But
okay,
maybe
Sheldon,
a tough sell and bond issue. But thanks for presenting. We hope we can be a few public forums going over these issues and trying to avoid the misstatements here.
Okay. Sheldon, thank you very much. Quick comment before the break here, Paul.
Well, I mean, Sheldon's talking about the 28 days of Cactus League draw you have. You get 14 days of baseball at the Rockies, and you get 28 days of baseball between the Rockies and the Diamondbacks when they were here. That draw is definitely, and especially in dollars per cap per fan, and also the Chicagoans coming in and paying for stuff, and the Denver people coming in, the economic impact isn't matched yet. We're hoping that as this soccer spring training program evolves, it'll help out. But having Cactus League back in Tucson, I'd love to do that, but I don't think there's major league clubs interested in that. I think they're now focused in two small areas, both one in Florida and one in the Phoenix, Maricopa County area. They want to be able to drive straight to the ballpark. The Players Association kind of wants that part of the gig. Maybe we get two or three teams back someday, but we'd have to build a stadium downtown. And right now, as much as I'd love to do that, I don't know if we could find the money. I don't know if we could find the political will. And I don't know if we want to give that much away to make the numbers work for a project like that.
All right. Stay with us, Councilman Paul Cunningham on the Buckmaster Show. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Grand Canyon University. It's 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook. Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at WestinLaPalomaResort.com.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up.
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is our midweek edition, 12:22, and on the Buckmaster Show live line, we are continuing our conversation with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Let's move from baseball on to the situation with Grand Canyon University. One of my many friends on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page took me to task for characterizing the situation around Grand Canyon University as a fiasco. Councilman, how would you characterize what's gone on with it?
Well, I mean, I guess from the outside looking in it, you could characterize it. You can look at it and think it was a fiasco. I think it's just a series of unfortunate events that kind of start at one end and just kind of resonate and keep going. But I do agree with the judge's decision today. We'll release all the talking points. It kind of takes the muzzle off me. I'm kind of looking forward to being able to talk about what I thought about the deal and, you know, how I came to the decision I came to and everything like that. But, you know, the bottom line is that you get into a situation where you want to negotiate, you want to come from a strong negotiating position, and so the situation is negotiations are supposed to be between the two negotiatees, and people may have some objections to having it wide open, and then once people get wind of it and they're not notified and they're stakeholders in the process, it kind of just throws gasoline on the fire, and that blew it up is kind of what happened. And you know, I agree that especially for the folks who helped quote unquote liberate that golf course 50 years ago, you know, this has got some serious sentimental value. Then you're talking about the $8 million that the city has poured into that asset over since 2005, and you're wondering whether or not what viable alternatives are. You also want to build out of that park, especially Joaquin Marietta, We don't have enough soccer and baseball fields for youth, let alone open space for youth football. I'm outside of town as it is, and we need that expanse. And all of a sudden, everybody's talking, and nothing's going, nothing's getting done. And so at the end of the day, you know, GCU willing to make an investment in the community is a good thing. Whether or not they wanted to, they kind of came in and wanted things done a certain way, and unfortunately, they're not from Tucson, and not everything in Tucson is done that way, and that was an unfortunate break.
When is the muzzle coming off? You say that you've got a muzzle on you right now concerning
this?
Yeah,
because we can't discuss about the deal points because it was in executive session. So we're bounded by all this executive session nonsense. And I remember the day we had the executive session, I said, hey, man, let's not have an executive session. Let's just talk about it. And staff, for certain reasons that were explained to me in executive session, had a reason why they wanted to go into executive session. And so that's what happened, and that the deal points that weren't public. Well, now there's no deal being made, so we can release the deal points, and people can see what we turned down or what we didn't turn down, and they can make the judgment on their own. And I think the public will be a lot more informed on really how complicated this whole process and scenario was.
All right, let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Christopher has a comment or question for Councilman Paul Cunningham. Go ahead, Christopher.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Councilman Cunningham, I I'm listening to your interview, and with all due respect, I'm just hearing a lot of excuses from you. With regards to the baseball field down on the south side, everyone knew from day one it was not going to work out. Listening to your points about Grand Canyon University, I mean, it's not a mistake, and that's how you seem to look at it. Oh, whoops, it's a mistake. I mean, there's no leadership coming from the city council. I mean, and we have example after example. The roads are atrocious. We can't get Grand Canyon here. I mean, there's a lot of frustration. I mean, do you take ownership for this? Where is the leadership? And I'm just thinking as a concerned citizen.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, a couple things. One is that, look, the support for the support for Grand Canyon University was not unilateral. All right, it wasn't unilateral in this community. There were quite a few people who didn't want it. So you have a split community about that. It wasn't that we have a number of people from the business community who were very disappointed in not being able to get Grand Canyon. We have a number of folks who do not support private institutions or religious institutions, or we have neighbors right in that area who stakeholder that area. So the support for Grand Canyon wasn't unilateral. So the fact that it became a situation that blew up, one of the reasons it did is because of all those processes. The other part is, I'm not making any excuses for the decision we made. I'm basically saying that the people who decided to build the park out there made a mistake. I'm trying to tell everybody, look, they were well-intentioned, but they still definitely were wrong. And I'm basically saying, taking ownership. How am I supposed to take ownership of the decision to put that ballpark out there in 1993 when I was 18 years old? I didn't have any policy-making abilities, and I actually said back then, I don't think it's going to work out there, but these guys are the professionals. They've read all the studies. I read all the articles back when I was 18, and it still didn't. And now I'm saying 20 years later, look, the proof is in the pudding. It was wrong. The people who've been defending the decision for a long time probably need to come up and say it was wrong, but I can't say that. The other thing I can say is that by the time I got on the council, we had lost spring training. We'd lost our bowl game. We were about 1 second away from losing our golf tournament, and I've done nothing but work as hard as I can to replace some of those sports commerce programs. And we've been pretty successful with soccer. We brought an all-star college football game here, and we've done a tremendous job bringing in other amateur sports programs. I'm working on an initiative right now to try to bring the Pan Am Games here someday. It takes some out-of-the-box thinking and some leadership, but you can't just fix it all at the snap of a finger.
All right. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman. Coming up, Paul, we're going to be talking for the next half hour about downtown. You like what you're seeing downtown? Very quickly, please, sir.
Yeah, downtown's a big success right now. The number of visitors downtown, the best and probably most objective way to judge the vitality of downtown and the commerce going on downtown is the amount of sales tax collected. It's way above the numbers than it was a half decade ago. That means people are going downtown. They're spending money downtown. It's very exciting. The commercial occupancy rate is going up. I'd love to see the commercial occupancy rate from officing and corporate headquarters go up too.
Okay, Paul Cunningham, thanks a lot for spending a half hour with us. Have a great day, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Prosecutors in Egypt say they're not likely to appeal today's court order for the release of former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. Backers of Bradley Manning vow to keep fighting for him. They shouted encouragement to Manning today as he was taken out of a military courtroom where he had been sentenced to 35 years in prison for leaking numerous classified documents to WikiLeaks. The Fed appears on track to slow its bond buying by the end of this year if the economy continues to improve. But the latest minutes of the Fed's meeting say the central bank remains divided over the exact timing of the move. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 39 points, below 15,000 again. The Nasdaq is up 3. The S&P is down 2. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition, 12:34 now. We are here every weekday, Monday through Friday, 12:04 to 1, Tucson's Town Square, if you will, on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And for the next half hour, we're going to take a deep dive into downtown. Michael Keith is with me. Michael is CEO of Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Craig Sumberg is the executive director of Fox Tucson Theater. Gentlemen, how are you this afternoon?
Great.
Doing great, thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Good to be back.
Characterize for me, I want you both to weigh in on this. Looking back, let's look back over the next past five years, maybe even further. Michael Keith, how far have we come?
It's exceeded everyone's expectations across the board. We all saw the potential coming, and a lot of us that worked developing the historic districts for the 25 years before that could see that it had that potential. But it just exploded. We're over 150 businesses and projects now, $240 million of investment in that five-year period. We've created over 1,500 jobs down there, another 7,000-8,000 construction jobs. I mean, it's off the chart. There, for a while there, we had cranes on every other street.
The role of the Downtown Tucson Partnership is what?
Well, we do a lot of things. We do all the maintenance and security for downtown and a lot of the marketing and PR. People would have seen our ads running on Cox this year and KXCI and this channel. We do economic development, so we do a lot of counseling and consulting with small businesses and projects coming in, and we do advocacy, trying to get the best deal we can for downtown as far as design standards or new projects.
I was going to say, Craig, give us a little history of the Fox. The most recent reincarnation of the Fox began really when?
I will. I just want to follow up on the partnership, because I do sit on the Merchants Council of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, a group of the folks who run businesses downtown. And I want to just congratulate Michael and his staff at the partnership for what I think has really been an incredible job of kind of shepherding the process and coordinating all the investment that's happened. So I don't think that downtown would look the way it does today without the work of Michael and his staff.
If we didn't have a kind of a clearinghouse.
Correct.
Like the partnership. There wouldn't really, I guess we'd be what, relying just on pretty much government leadership.
Government or the market to do it on its own. But, I mean, I think sometimes you see you need a guiding hand, and I think Michael and the board of the DTP have provided that.
He just wants me to buy lunch.
Right.
I know you've got a lunch coming up here. There's got to be something.
He's going to say nice things about the Fox pretty soon.
Yeah, he will. Craig, the Fox, give us the – well, the history of a little bit of thumbnail history of the Fox.
Well, most of your listeners know it, but, you know, the crown jewel of downtown for many years of its history, opened in 1930, closed in 1974 when downtown had seen, you know, its high point with many years in the past, and began again kind of a new life in 1999 with Herb Stratford and a bunch of other folks coming together to resurrect that building and save it from being a parking garage. And reopened in New Year's Eve on 2006 with a Bruce Hornsby show, which Michael was at and will tell you is a great night. I actually do have Bruce Hornsby coming back this fall for his second engagement. And we've been open since 2006 and kind of had our ups and downs in that period, and did take some bruises in the press over some of the early days. But I really think that we've hit our stride now, and I think the public senses that as well. I get a lot of positive feedback when I'm out around town talking about the Fox Theater, and I think people really do see it as an asset. And I think we're rapidly becoming the crown jewel that we claim to be of that downtown renaissance.
How's the financial picture looking for the Fox?
It's a whole lot better than it looked 2 years ago. We're still digging out from under. We did have some debt coming out of the Rio Nuevo supported renovation, and we're trying to work with Rio Nuevo on that. But we are in much better shape than we have ever been since reopening, and feel very good about our prospects.
And that is totally due to Craig. I mean, he has come in there just the right mix of experience and personality and has won a lot of people over. He's at every show. I mean, he's put everything together that you see on that schedule in front of you.
Which is a very impressive schedule. We're going to talk about a little bit here, the 2013 season.
You see, it's a mutual admiration society here.
So I don't know who's going to buy who lunch here, whether it's Michael or Craig.
Maybe. But you'll find this is true across downtown. All of us are in awe of everybody else down there. There are so many heroes that have stepped up. You know, Fletcher McCusker, of course, and Scott Steitler. And
the restaurateurs.
And the restaurateurs, each one of them are unique giving individuals, and it's just an extraordinary community down there.
There's going to be ebb and flow, as obviously, with the restaurant scene. You've got a lot of new restaurants opening. We just saw in the media today about Monkey Burger's location is going to close downtown, but there'll be the ebb and flows, correct, Michael?
Yeah, and there'll be that for all types of retailers, both regular merchandisers as well as restaurants and bars, and markets will come and go. And it's just... you know, downtowns are living, growing, changing places. They're not static at all. There'll be another user coming in there. That building, as the article said, change hands, and the new owner is absolutely a terrific guy. And
it's a former 100-year old hotel.
And this guy wants to restore it.
What's the location of that for folks who may not know?
It's just it's just north of Congress on 6th Avenue across from the Ronstadt Transit Center.
And this individual, you say, wants to restore the
property.
He wants
to go, all the way back to its historic, original historic form. And you add that to the Chicago store, and all of a sudden, you know, we've got these amazing buildings emerging from being covered up in the past. And I talked to him the other day. He wants to do great things.
Michael Keith is with us, CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Craig Sumberg is here. He's the executive director of Fox Tucson Theater. If you'd like to join in the conversation, perhaps you have a comment about downtown or a question for our guest, 790-2040. Let's talk about the upcoming season, Craig, and I know you work so hard programming these shows. And talk a little bit about the type of performer that you feel will do well in Tucson.
Sure, and it's, you know, I've learned what it takes to book at the Fox over the last couple of years. I have taken some hits as I've done that, but I think what we know we do really well at now is country, anything kind of within 6 degrees of country, alt country, country rock, do a lot of that stuff right now, and that's clearly something that sells in Tucson. We do some classic rock, we do singer-songwriters, some blues, some jazz, some comedy. That's kind of the essential mix, and then we have renters come in, do all kinds of stuff at the Fox, and some of it really interesting, both nonprofit and for-profit renters. So it's a great – I mean, look, it's just a great venue. People rave about it, both from an audience standpoint, people kind of watching the shows. The acts we get coming through there always rave about playing in there. So, and I do feel like there's something special about the shows we get. Because I hear often from bands, you know, they'll say it's one of the best shows, the best audience experiences they've had on tour. So there's something about the mix between the audience. It's very immediate. It's a small, it's a very intimate 1,200 seats. So it's just a special place.
Who are you excited about?
Literally every show. Right now, coming up quick, is Don Williams, a great country performer, just a very kind of long-standing, wonderful country guy. Taj Mahal in October is going to be amazing, as will Bruce Hornsby and Ricky Skaggs. That's going to be a great kind of a bluegrass-tinged show. Our gala is in November 3rd, and that's with Vince Gill. That's a fundraiser for the foundation that runs the theater. And Vince Gill always puts on a great show.
Well, it's going to be a great fall.
And I think I skipped over Kenny Loggins in September. But you can catch everything we have, of course, at www.foxtucson.com or sign up for the email list, and we send that out every week.
And the performers say the acoustics are what they like? I mean, you're hearing very good
things. It is absolutely the acoustics. Mm-hmm. The place has a very interesting material on the walls called Acoustone, which the company that made it went bankrupt in the Depression, but it's just an excellent acoustic material. So the Fox gets raves from performers about the acoustics in there.
Yeah, and even Linda Ronstadt, when she was there, commented on that.
Yeah, I mean, Pat Metheny, Joan Baez, I mean, just all kinds of very, very top-notch, world-class performers say they love playing in there.
Michael Keith, I wanted to talk a little bit about the restoration. That really was your field, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Historic restoration and new infill, residential infill downtown.
And you got interested in that when?
Well, kind of my whole life. I probably shouldn't admit this on air, but we used to break into a lot of the boarded up buildings downtown that the city was taking down, all the old mansions, to make parking lots when we were in high school from Rincon. And we knew, even at that age, you know, that these were treasures that were being sort of wrongly demoted to the slag heap. And I think that stayed with me. And my father's shop was down in South Tucson. I spent a lot of time downtown at the Fox growing up, Johnny Gibson's gym. So I've always been connected and had a love of downtown.
And downtown revitalization, or what was called in the 60s urban renewal, really had some serious problems. And I think we regret it to this day, some of the things that went on in Tucson, Arizona, during that period.
And, you know, not to just put the finger on us, but most cities went through that period where they destroyed a lot of their past. In the 60s, it was kind of a progressive moment.
That old was no longer considered hip, right?
Hip, well,
or cool, or important. Or neat, or important.
Or culturally important, or relevant.
Rose, can we squeak? We can. Well, let's go to Linda here before we take the break. Linda, you're with Craig and Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My question is, I've been in Tucson for 12 years, and I just would like to have clarification as to whether or not there's a trend change, or just something that I'm just noticing now, but it seems like there's more of a flavor for country music. And I've been in, like I said, I've been here for 12, and I'll listen. I'm going to hang up and just listen to your response.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, thank you, Linda. Go ahead, Craig Sumberg of the Fox.
I'll only say Linda's been here for 6 years longer than I have, so she would know the trend better than I do, I guess. But there's certainly a great depth of interest and support for country music in Tucson, and maybe that's been cultivated over the years and trying to increase what people are interested in. But there's no question in my mind, every time I book a country show, I can pretty much be assured it's going to sell out or come close to sell out at least the big names. So there is a strong cohort for country music in Tucson.
Okay, coming up on 12:47, we're going to take a break here on the Buckmaster Show. Let's pause for a moment and listen to the fine group of sponsors, people who believe in this radio show. We ask that you support them as well. Right back.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's vscott.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Music.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Looking for that perfect late summer getaway? I recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Ranked number one on TripAdvisor, Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1250 right now, and this portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway road trip, I strongly suggest Silver City. We send a lot of people over there from the Buckmaster Show, and they have coming up over Labor Day weekend a Chicano Music Festival and a Gem and Mineral Show in Silver City, historic downtown Silver City, voted one of America's top 100 arts communities. Many nice places to stay, including Gila Hot Springs. You can get the whole listing on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. It has rained quite a bit over in Silver City, and things looking real green in the Gila National Wilderness. So keep in mind, it would be a great autumn road trip. Michael Keith is with us from the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Michael is the CEO, and Craig Sumberg is the executive director of Fox Tucson Theater. We're talking about the very promising signs of resurgence in downtown Tucson. Let's talk a little bit, Michael, about some of the challenges still facing downtown. We have lived through the situation with the modern streetcar. Is that work and disruption pretty much now behind us?
Yeah, it is. They have some cleanup things to do for the next 6-8 weeks, and there'll be a few minor disruptions, but that's all pretty much done. Fourth Avenue and the university areas look great. The west side looks pretty good. They've actually been vacuuming out the tracks because they're getting ready for the delivery of this car in the next 3-4 weeks, and they'll begin to beta test that first car that gets delivered. And that's going to be a big psychological moment, I think.
How about downtown parking?
It's still good. I mean, you know, there's 15,000 parking spaces down there. We tell the story all the time, and everybody looks at us with disbelief. But we have enormous amounts of parking there, and no matter what the event is, everybody always finds their way down there, gets parked, has a good time, and goes home. But look at Fourth Avenue. You know, they're landlocked with all the historic neighborhoods, but every year 600,000 people show up at those two street fair shows, and somehow we all find our way over there, and we all find our way back out. So,
and parking's very convenient for the Fox Tucson Theater.
It is, and I think that people generally, it's a matter, they just have to figure it out the first time, and they got to see where they're going to park, and we try and help them We're doing some renting of the old Pueblo Garage one block over from the Fox. But in general, you know, La Placita or Pennington Street Garage, I mean, those are the places we Fox attendees tend to park. And I think if for Tucsonans, it's just getting used to parking in a garage. You know, I mean, in most parts of town, they don't have to go into a garage. So that's the difference. There is street parking, and certainly at night, it's a little more prevalent. But really, it's just getting used to coming down and paying a little bit of money for the parking.
Go ahead, Michael.
And the street and the metered parking is free at night.
Right.
And that there may be some metered parking coming on several hundred spots on 4th Avenue. Is that what's being talked
about? Yeah, they're gonna put 450 or so parking spaces on 4th and the intersecting streets starting up in April. And they're going to start to match the prices on 4th Avenue downtown so that the hours and the prices are the same and everybody gets used to that. And I think it's going to benefit 4th Avenue quite a bit.
How about the market for what you do at the Fox, Craig? It seems like there's a tremendous potential with the North of River crowd, the Foothills market, not just for the Fox, but for all of downtown, mm-hmm. to get some people who may not have been downtown to check out the restaurants and check out a show.
Absolutely true. I mean, Second Saturdays has been instrumental in getting some of those folks to come down and see what downtown is like. Mm-hmm. And when they see it, and certainly now that the construction is over, my take on the construction was people came down once, at least if they were interested or support or trying to support the downtown businesses, and they mostly said that was really bad. We're not going back until it's over. And I think we can safely say, Michael, that it's over, and people should come on back downtown. And the restaurants are changing, and there's new ones opening every month. And the Fox is definitely pushing into the Foothills, and people are comfortable coming down, and that's good for all of us downtown.
And what they're coming down for from everywhere is the fact that you can go to a show and you have these amazing, absolutely amazing world-class restaurants now, and you can walk the safe streets, you can get an ice cream at Hub, you can window shop in some of the unique retailers down there. And it's becoming its own destination in a way that it never was before.
And I want to give a shout out to our friends down at the Rialto, because they, you know, the Fox and the Rialto kind of anchor the downtown. Obviously, ATC, and there are some other great, and the folks at the mm-hmm. TCC, Symphony, and so forth. But in terms of the Congress Street, anyway, the Fox and the Rialto really anchor the events on downtown. Obviously, Rialto mostly caters to a younger audience. People sometimes describe the Fox as the adult venue, but we both like to shake it up a little bit and kind of have a diverse audience. So, I mean, between the two of those venues and the new restaurants coming in, and add in ATC and the Symphony and all the other great players in the arts community downtown, we're really trying to build an arts and entertainment district downtown through 4th Avenue, and I think that's happening.
And the Rialto block is really looking a lot stronger than
it's insane.
Yeah,
Saint House just opened last week. This new Caribbean and rum based restaurant, mm-hmm. Absolutely stunning. Looks like Good Oak Bar is going to open in about 3 or 4 weeks. We've got World of Beers coming in. We've got Geo Taco, which is in the bottom of the Cadence, the student housing project. Maze Kitchen's coming in.
You're going to have a lot more students down
there. Hi-Fi, a concept out of Phoenix, is coming in. We've got a wine, this really great little wine and a small plate restaurant that's focusing on teaching people about wines. That's coming in. Cartel is moving down there. I mean, we've got 8 more major restaurants and bars opening by February of next year. I mean, it's just been a headlong rush, and they're full.
That's good news. All right, we're going to have to wrap it up here very soon. But, Craig, what's the best way for people to find out again about the show calendar?
FoxTucson.com on the web, or call the box office. But everything is on the website.
Everything there, and all the ticket information and the pricing and everything.
You bet. And we do encourage membership at $50 or more. People get advance notice of every show. They can buy tickets before their friends or buy tickets for their friends. And that helps support the work of the foundation, which is a nonprofit organization running the Fox Theater.
And for more information about the Downtown Tucson Partnership,
downtowntucson.org. And you get on that website. The full calendar of events going out for months is on there. every restaurant is listed on there, every shop, all the parking options. So you can plan your day or your weekend downtown off of our website and a web app that we have on the phone.
And total investment, again, in downtown is running at about what, do you think?
For the 5 years, the last 5 years, $240 million, and that's a tip in the bucket. Tip of the bucket?
A little drop in the bucket. Michael Keith, CEO, Downtown Tucson Partnership. Craig Sumberg, Executive Director, Fox Tucson Theater. Thank you, gentlemen, both very much.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate your
love being on the show.
Thank you very much. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Bottled water that is better bottled water. It's pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial needs. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Our guests enjoying a little drink of it right now. It's good water, and give Culligan a shout-out. We're always happy to do so. Coming up this afternoon, 3 to 5, the John C. Scott Show here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Then tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. The guests tomorrow, U.S. Congressman David Schweikert of Scottsdale and Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild will be on the show tomorrow. We will have Congressman Raul Grijalva in this very studio for you at 12:04 tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.